As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table. All across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Wednesday, April the 28th, 2010, sunny two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. It says the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air and from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guest show topics and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Once again, a big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro, 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. And in our second hour, we'll be joined by AM 1710, Liberty Radio, Minneapolis, and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number throughout the broadcast remains 866-841-1065. The contact information and our show archives are all available for your use at oraclebroadcasting.com. This morning, Goldman Sachs is spanked by Levine's Senate hearing. They go home enriched, but none the wiser. We'll talk about that. Banking regulation, legislation desired but not likely to curb corruption on Wall Street. We'll talk a little bit about that. Stocks in deep decline, gold climbing higher. We'll give you that in the market report. Go back into our newest sphere, Pierre Thiel, Hardy, Chardin, Evolution, Revolution, or Revolution, Evolution. Talk about Auguste Comte, Aldous Huxley. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to that market report for this morning, Wednesday, April 28th, 2010, out of active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold trades off $5.20 from its rather high closing yesterday, trading now at $1,163.20. That's a good number. I like to see that. But silver took it in the shorts, goes down 20 cents, trades at $17.96 an ounce. Platinum loses $5 in early trading at $1,712 a troy ounce, and palladium off three as well at $544 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,159.80 for a low, $1,167.10 for a high, about a $9 spread in there. But at $1,163.20, your gold is up year to year $270.20 an ounce for a 30.25% return on your investment. The London Bullion Market Association, the London Gold Fixers, the boys in London set the price at $1,164.25, and we're a buck below that now, at least as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. SPDR Gold Shares added a little bit more gold overnight to their holdings, coming in this morning at 1,146.83 tons for a street value of $42.36 billion. We'll be back right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from EngineBrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, we have returned on our Wednesday, April the 28th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you live Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. It's going to close out that market report for this morning. Again, we find gold trading off $5.20 at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time in New York at $1,163.20 an ounce. Silver off 20 cents at $17.96 an ounce. Platinum off 5 at $17.12. And palladium off 3 at $544 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average took a big whack yesterday, off 213 points, I guess you'd say. Points, I suppose. Points, numbers, digits, whatever. Down 213 at 10,992. The NASDAQ likewise lost ground, moving down 51 to 2471. And the S&P closed down 28 at 1,184. The crude oil this morning up 35 cents at $82.19 a barrel. The U.S. dollar index, the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s weighted basket of traded currencies, or however they say that, trade weighted basket of currencies. if that makes any sense. Moves down 21 basis points, trades at 82.79. Of course, that impacts the Forex, the Canadian dollar, the loonie, no longer at parity with the U.S. dollar, now about down a little bit again, trades at 99 cents U.S., but it did move up 0.83%. The Mexican peso bumped up 75 basis points against the U.S. dollar, trades at 8 cents U.S. The euro came up against the U.S. dollar, moved up 75 basis points, trades at $1.33. The British pound went the other way, losing 7 points, trades at $1.52, and the Swiss franc moves up 59 basis points against the dollar, trades at 92 cents U.S. In the bond market, the two-year bonds yielding at 1.03 this morning, the 10-year yields out at 3.74, and the 30-year 4.60%. In the mortgage markets, the 15-year mortgage moves up a fuzz. It was up from 4.37 last month to 4.38 this morning. The 30-year also moves up a tiny bit, moves up from 5.11% to 5.13%. Well, everybody, I'm sure, certainly I hope you were paying attention yesterday. A lot of action happening in the news. But the big deal culminated yesterday where the Senate investigative, the subcommittee on investigations led by Mr. Levin, Carl Levin, grilled out Blankfein. And if you didn't watch that, well, there you go. There's things that we watched and things that we don't. I certainly was sitting there transfixed. Of course, I'm easily transfixed. That's why I don't watch TV. But I was watching it live on the internet. It's something I don't generally do. But here's the story right out of Bloomberg. Levin gives a grilling Blankfein, means clash of Harvard law standouts. This by James Sterngold, writing for Bloomberg, April 28th, New News. Lloyd C. Blankfein, what a piece of work that puke is. Goldman sucks. And Carl Levin, very interesting man, very interesting man. Carl Levin. So we've got Lloyd C. Blankfein. Blankfein and Levin going head to head here. Both of these guys have degrees from Harvard Law School. And then the author continues, judging from their confrontation on Capitol Hill yesterday, they hardly speak the same language. And I would second that. But again, it's hard to tell just how crafty and it's hard to discern the craft and guile of the change agents. You just have to be so very careful. You know, we've had so many years of television and the big screen, the silver screen, that when it comes time to be an actor, some people can act and they act exceedingly well. So it's hard to say how these two Harvard graduates where they were coming from in their inner self. Let's put it that way. Levin, this would be Carl Levin, the chairman of the Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, pummeled using Carl, or who was that guy? pummeled. My goodness. Good morning, Will. Pummeled Blankfein, chairman and chief executive officer of Goldman Sachs Group, Inc., with a barrage of questions about why the Wall Street firm sold securities it was betting against. You should have seen it. It was an excellent performance. Whether there was sincerity behind it all, and I think there was. that's the impression I got. Mr. Levin was totally sincere. And he was slicing and dicing Blankfein in fine style. Nevertheless, let me jump in here again and try to finish this thing. Blankfein struggled to complete sentences as he tried to describe what it means to be a market maker. Levin, quote, here's a quote, Levin had a simple narrative to tell. Excuse me while I try and get my throat straight. A little more coffee might help. Levin had a simple narrative to tell. The article continues, Goldman bet against their clients, said Jonathan Taplin, a professor of communications at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School in L.A. Quote, Blankfein had these long, complicated explanations, but I'm not sure the average person listens or cares about that. And it was interesting because Levin wasn't cutting Blankfein any slack. Every time Blankfein tried to go off into one of these lengthy obfuscatory linguistic patterns, he was cut short. He had met his match in this Carl Levin, and there's no doubt about it. Let's continue a little bit further with this article. The clash of the two chairmen came toward the end of more than 10 hours of public hearings. That all went on yesterday. Started up just about the time we came on air, and it didn't end until about 6 o'clock or something like that late last night. Might have been as late as 7, I don't know. At times it seemed like a mismatch. Levin, 75 years old, a Michigan Democrat, like him or love him, or hate him, frequently interrupted Blankfein, 55. Now, there's 20 years difference in these two men's age. All right, they're 20 years. Levin is 20 years, Blankfein senior. They're both graduates from Harvard. Obviously, they would have graduated 20 years apart, thereabouts. And so this article is going to show you just a little bit of the corruption, if you will, the deliberately dumbed down affairs from Harvard 20 years prior to the time that Blankfein got his sheepskin. McKinney continues here. He says, quote, Your people think it's a piece of crap and go out and sell it, said Levin. They're both probably Jewish. I'm just assuming on Levin, but it certainly looks like a Jewish name. His reading glasses pushed the tip of his nose. Yes, if you looked at it, it would be one of these, something you would see out of the theater for sure. It's almost like the way that Santa Claus is portrayed in the advertising pieces with his glasses down at the end of his nose, and that's the way Levin was looking all the way through the process here. His reading glasses pushed to the tip of his nose, referring to Goldman Sachs emails in which traders spoke of selling securities to customers. Quote, we're talking about betting against the very thing you were selling without disclosing that to your client, he continues. Blankfein, often squinting, and he did a lot of that. He did a lot of squinting. He was squirming. He did a lot of paper fumbling. He wasn't able to deal with Levin. Levin was pommeling. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Pommel the man. Pommel him. And he did it. We'll be right back.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Sea Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Sea Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Sea Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, cPanel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cPanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Okay, so we've returned once again, and we're looking at this rather lengthy article here, and there's certainly a lot of it that you can go and find on the Internet, and I'm sure that if you dig around and browse around a bit, you'll find plenty of audio and visual clips, video clips that you can watch that will give you an insight as to these 10 hours of public hearings that took place yesterday, looking into Goldman Sachs' role in the financial crisis. And, of course, it was a bit of a mismatch. Carl Levin had Blank Fine just up against the ropes, so to speak. And you can imagine how it would go. I mean, if you're leading or if you are chairing a meeting and you've got all the documents and you've got all the people that you have assembled and everybody's worked real hard and put together their graphs, their charts, their, you know, photographs with circles and arrows on the back, just like Alice's restaurant, you're sitting up there and you're grilling somebody. You're really in the catbird seat. And because you're up on the dais, you're up above looking down, and they're down below looking up, and their backs to the audience, and the other fellow, the chair, has got the chair is looking at the audience, so he's getting the full benefit of audience reaction. He can pull all the drama that he wants to pull into it, and you're really on the hot seat when you're sitting there. I can imagine that Blank Fine, his heart was going about 10,000 miles an hour. Of course, he's no idiot. He's a snake in the grass. And so, you know, he was holding his own, but just barely. He had to use both hands to do it. But continuing here, it says, quote, "Your people think it's a piece of crap and go out and sell it," said Levine, or Levin. His reading glasses pushed the tip of his nose, referring to the Goldman Sachs emails in which traders spoke of selling securities to customers. We're talking about betting against the very thing you're selling without disclosing that to your client. Continuing, Blank Fine, again, squirming, we'll skip over that. We don't need to repeat it. Both Levin, or Levine, grew up in Detroit, and Blank Fine, the son of a postal worker raised in Brooklyn, went to public schools before attending elite colleges. Levin graduated from Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania and Blank Fine from Harvard College in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Both attending Harvard Law School, Levin graduated in 1959 and Blank Fine in 78. So about 20 years between them. That would be possibly a whole new staff of instructors. Completely different editions of textbooks, other selections in text, and different moral codes. 1959, graduating in 1959 from law school. One can only say that Levin attended school dressed in slacks, wore shirts, sometimes a sweater over the shirt, oftentimes likely wearing a tie and so on. But in 1978, Blank Fine might have come in with his hair longer and scraggly beard and dusting along in jeans. Just the way things went in those 20 years. One is still the tag end of a very strict and moral America. The other is this loosey-goosey sex, drugs, and rock and roll generation. Blank Fine practiced tax law before joining the commodities firm of J. Aaron and Company, later acquired by Goldman Sachs. He became the CEO in 2006. Last year, he received a salary of $600,000 and a bonus of stock at $9 million. I can tell you, I've never seen $1 million in my lifetime. Probably won't either. Doug Owen had to pester me for months and months and months just to post a bio on the website. I don't sell anything. I'm not really motivated by money. Haven't been for 20 years. Continuing, this is the Rorschach test, they say. Levin worked as an assistant attorney general in Michigan, general counsel for the Michigan Civil Rights Commission, before being elected to the Detroit City Council, then winning a seat in the Senate in 1978. So in the year that Levin got his seat in the Senate, Blankfein was just graduating law school. You see the advantage that Levin brought into that hearing room. He's a chairman of the Armed Forces Armed Services Committee, as well as the Investigation Subcommittee, and has led probes into unfair credit card practices, money laundering, and the collapse of Enron. Last year, he made $174,000. So you look at the dollar discrepancy here. Who knows how much he made on the side, who much he gets in his campaign coffers, but nevertheless, Levin earned $174,000 last year, Blankfein $600,000 plus $9 million in stock bonuses. The two men have risen to the heights of their professions. Notice we're looking at a senator as this is a profession, the career politician here, and the other a career banker. But the two men have risen to the heights of their professions, and they certainly have done that. Goldman Sachs is about the apex of banking, certainly in the United States, if not around the world. Continuing, and the viewers tended to see what they wanted to in the hearing because of the cynicism, both about Wall Street and Washington, said Victor Wang, managing director of T2 Venture Capital in Los Altos, California. Continuing, it's a Rorschach test for the people. Was the financial crisis caused by a failure of the markets or by a failure of the government? I'm of the belief that the markets utterly failed and the government failed to exercise good oversight. Levin is more credible, but only because Goldman Sachs is near zero right now. So we can drag down the bank, and they're an easy target, being a bunch of parasitical leeches that they are, the money changers. But at the same time, you've got to understand that all of the troubles that have come along over these past years since 1978 forward have had Levin's stamp in it. He's voted for things he could have voted against. He's chaired committees and done certain activities. He's had a long, long time to make the United States of America the shining star, the model of the world, and yet he sat there as this country, through all of its laws and legislation, has walked farther and farther and farther away from its constitutional foundation. So who's to blame? Who's to blame? Blankfein? Jewish banker, enriching himself while he enriches his co-workers and makes money for his favorite clients, including some princes in Saudi Arabia. Who's to blame here? I think just about everybody has something in this. Stocks plunge as a result of this, however. Stocks plunge, Asia bond risk climbs on Greece, Portugal debt. We heard about, you know, the pigs, the little pig countries. Well, this is another article off of Bloomberg. Close out on the Goldman Sachs thing here. You can pick it up for yourselves, go into it as deep as you like. One thing, though, I will say before we go away from that, is that there's a great chance that, it's a certainty, Goldman's not going to get anything more than a slap on the hand. They're walking away with about $500 million in profit that nobody is going to ask for. They're not going to go to a criminal case on this. It's just the hearing is over, I guess, and that's it. So we've had our little day on the movies, and we've had a little bit of time in the newspapers, but they're just going to crawl right back on their rock. Actually, they're going to climb right back up to the top of their pillar, and all things will continue as they were. But for Levin and company, they may or may not be any closer today than they were before these hearings as to getting their regulations passed. So all the people out there that are championing, you know, audit the Fed, if this is the best the Senate committees can do grilling Goldman Sachs when their hands are clearly dirty, how effective would any kind of a Senate inquiry or an audit of the Fed be? This article by Patrick Chu and Shani Raja, again, this is team writing, collaborative writing. Stocks plunge, Asia bond risk climbs on Greece, Portugal debt. You've all heard about the little pigs, right? Right? Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, Spain. April 28th, Bloomberg, new news. Stocks worldwide tumbled. We saw that here in the United States. And the cost to insure against losses in corporate debt increased after credit rating downgrades of Greece and Portugal fueled concern debt-laden nations are moving closer to default. The euro traded near a one-year low versus the dollar.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com. This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And if you were thinking of calling in, you might want to hold your call for a moment or two because we're having some trouble getting the Oracle broadcasting phone bridge up here. It'll come back probably. It's trying to reset right now. Sometimes at this time of the day, it does that to us. But anyway, back along the way we go here. Stocks plunging, Asia bond risk climbing on Greece, Portugal debt. Basically, people are panicking about the contagion effects, said Sydney-based Simon Bonovri, who helps manage $1.7 billion at Platypus what a name, Platypus Asset Management. I guess you could work at a place like that. Put that on your business card, Platypus Asset. Don't say that rapidly. Asset Management. It's an overreaction, but the risk aversion will remain until these problems are resolved. Well, just keep your eyes peeled. There's going to be a lot happening in Europe. They're trying to figure out whether or not this European Union was the worst thing that they'd ever done or not. Here's a little bit more to close out the news for this morning. We'll end on an up note. Happy Meals. Now, this is out of the LA Times. This is a redirect from Bloomberg this morning. Happy Meal toys could be banned in Santa Clara County. Big news here. Top of the list. A county supervisor has created a stir with his proposal to bar the inclusion of toys in restaurant meals that contain high amounts of sugar, salt, or certain fats. You can see the little Sarah Bennett eating a McDonald's Happy Meal in Renton, Washington. The photographs that they've got is priceless. It's on the web this morning. This is an article by Sharon Bernstein. You can see who's controlling the media. I shouldn't have to tell you they're controlling Congress, too. They're also running Wall Street. The latest target in the battle over fast food is something you shouldn't even put in your mouth. Convinced that Happy Meals and other food promotions aimed at children could make kids fat as well as happy. Fat, dumb, and happy, isn't that the whole, that's the bottom line, isn't it? Fat, dumb, and happy. Well, convinced that Happy Meals and other food promotions aimed at children could make kids fat as well as happy, county officials in Silicon Valley are poised to outlaw the little toys that often come with high calorie offerings. They can just spoil anything, can't they? The proposed ban is the latest in the growing string of efforts to change the types of food aimed at youngsters and the way they're cooked and sold. Across the nation, cities and states and certain school boards have taken aim at excessive sugar, salt, and certain types of fats. Of course, our body needs fats, but certain types of fat are definitely bad for you. Our bodies need salt. You have to have it. Even a cow will just lick and lick endlessly to try and find salt, so you put salt licks out for them. Deer are always in searching for more salt, so if you put a salt block out, the deer like that too. What's wrong with excessive sugar? Cane sugar, I guess. But, well, anyway. Believed to be the first of its kind in the nation, the proposal would forbid the inclusion of a toy in any restaurant meal that has more than 485 calories, more than 600 milligrams of salt, or high amounts of sugar or fat. In the case of McDonald's, the limits would include all of the chain's Happy Meals, even those that include apple sticks instead of French fries. Supporters say, are they apple sticks or are they potato sticks? Hard to say, huh? Supporters say the ban would encourage restaurants to offer more nutritious foods to, they say kids, I say, you know, children or young ones, and would make unhealthful items less appealing. But opponents believe it amounts to government meddling in parental decisions. Santa Clara County Board of Supervisors will consider the proposal today. So there you go, folks. You just let them have their head, and government will be up your stovepipe, checking for just about anything and everything, restricting your choices in life. You know, people are so stupid as to even go into a McDonald's. Should they be blamed for eating the crap that they serve? I don't think so. But anyway. I'm going to give us a little bit more of a background on some of the things we've been started into this week, spawned as it was from our discussion with Michael Vail on his broadcast Sunday night after the Barbara Hubbard interview. Been doing a little bit of research into Barbara Hubbard and all of these Renaissance people. Dates back a long way. It certainly goes back to the time that Carl Levin was getting out of Harvard. In 1959, Dorothy, but let's continue. This again, this is out of an encyclopedia, and I do enjoy referencing this sort of material on the air because not everybody has been so fortunate as to get out and scurry around and acquire in their own personal library some of the books that I have. There is material on the Internet. But what I have discovered is that some of the information on the Internet, especially Wikipedia, leaves out a lot, lots of gaps, places for you. But at the same time, sometimes, because that is kind of an open source thing, it'll have information in Wikipedia, little tips and tidbits, that only somebody that's done a lot of research and ferreted out and edited the Wikipedia article would know. And early on, when Wikipedia was just getting underway, I guess, there was a need for information on the web about positivism and August Comte, and I submitted several edits to the Wikipedia people, and those still are on their web. Anyway, August Comte, Isidore Auguste Marie François Xavier Comte, a very long name. It's kind of like a guy with a name, you know, is Smith, Comte, C-O-M-T-E. It's pronounced Comte, but I don't say Comte on the radio because you might think it was Immanuel Kant. I mean, they sound exactly the same. One's German, one French, both philosophers, so I just say Comte, pronouncing it phonetically so that you might have an opportunity to look it up on your own. But Isidore Auguste Marie-François Xavier Comte. This is a guy that has a real problem inside him. His mother didn't give him all those names. He grew up as Isidore, then became Auguste. Augustus Caesar, of course. Marie and Francois, that's Kingly's thrown in there. And Xavier, of course, Sir St. Francis Xavier, the number two in command of the Jesuits. Anyhow, lots to that. But Auguste Comte, here we go. Generally known as Auguste Comte, a famous French philosopher, was born in Montpellier on the 19th of January of 1798. So 1776, we have our declaration and all that. And in 1798, Auguste Comte is born. So he's coming in to this time of the republics, if you will, a little late. But, of course, he then becomes the secretary and an author writing for Claude-Henri Duverroy, St. Simon. And St. Simon Island, by the way, is just north of Jekyll Island. They're in the Sea Islands off the coast of, what is it, whatever it is. Whatever it is. But let's continue. He was born in 1798 of a strict Catholic family. That's important. Paris, of course. And we found yesterday, well, we'll continue here, Paris. And he died in Paris on the 5th of September of 1857. So he didn't live all that long, terribly long. He lived, what, till the age of 59. He was very precocious in his intellectual development, in his own words, at the age of 14. And everything about Auguste Comte is in his own words. And he is very precocious. He's also very egotistical. And he also exaggerates, prone to exaggeration. And most of his writing career was done while he was just about fully crackers. Anyhow, he became very influential. He was very precocious in his intellectual development, in his own words, at the age of 14, went through all the necessary stages of the revolutionary tendency and felt the necessity of a general political and religious rebirth. So a lot of the people that have influenced these past hundreds of years have had this revolutionary spirit. As we like to say every morning, there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. What is needed now more than probably at any time in your life, we need to have some revolutionary thinking. We need to have some new thinking. Not so much as that you go around in circles in a revolution, but so much as that in one revolution of the Earth has traveled forward considerably in space in its journey around the terrestrials. And we've also had another year. It's hard to say you came back to the same spot, but certainly the Earth does revolve upon its axis. In 1814, he entered the École Polytechnique at Paris. Now, again, this would be the same school that Barbara Marx Hubbard attended many years later. Though the school was broken up by the government in 1816 for political reasons, Comte remained in Paris and developed a close acquaintance with St. Simon. Enter Claude-Henri Duverroy, St. Simon. And if you've never, and some will say Saint-Simon. You'll hear it that way, too. But from whom he learned the need of substituting a new spiritual power for the medieval hierarchy in church and state. And that's very important, because it really wasn't until he came to the point where he had concocted this catechism of the positive religion that he had really put the capstone on his positive system of philosophy and his positive system of philosophy and politics. Continuing here, he did, however, put that catechism of positive religion, or more properly, it is the universal religion of humanity. Catechism of Positive Zim. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from EngineBrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned once again, and just kind of giving you an idea, you know, it was, there were quite a few positivists, if you will, who were part of the group that was requesting and engaging the services of Karl Mordecai Marx and Friedrich Engels to write the Communist Manifesto. August Comte and Marx are, and not Barbara Marx, but Karl Marx, were contemporaries, walking and talking and writing and influencing at the very same time. Some years ago, 5 years ago, when I first started into my studies, I first started to come into just who is August Comte and what is positivism. When I discovered that he was credited as the founder of sociology, I began searching flea markets and used bookstores for sociology textbooks. And so it was a surprise to me that even though he is the founder and coined it, created this science, called it the queen of sciences, to trump philosophy, you'll only find in most sociology textbooks maybe a paragraph or a sidebar about Auguste Comte. They just don't want to point the students to this man for whatever reason. But let's continue here, back to the encyclopedia. Again, I'm working out of the Encyclopedia Americana, Volume 7. This was published back in 1951, though the article appears to be much older than that. Continuing, it says that though the school was broken up again by the government in 1816 for political reasons, Comte remained in Paris and developed a close acquaintance with Saint-Simon, from whom he earned the need of substituting a new church, a new spiritual power for the medieval hierarchy in church and state. And of course, you know, the revolution really had a lot to do with breaking up the aristocracies in France and taking the property away from both them and the church. And Claude Henri Duvivier, Henri Saint-Simon, and Henri Saint-Simon, made a whole gob and a bunch of money on real estate by buying up and selling and trading some of the land that was available. Henri Saint-Simon, of course, was also his Saint-Simon, Claude Henri Duvivier, Comte Saint-Simon. He was also a count. He was also of noble birth, but he hid that. He got rid of that. And he used to call himself Bonhomme, or the good man, or like, you know, Bonhomme is like Benjamin Franklin, Dr. Franklin, Bonhomme. But anyway, he was trying to make himself out to be a real plain and simple fellow. At the same time, he was becoming fabulously wealthy, and Saint-Simon then went on to create one of these salons, organize one of these salons. I think he had several in his lifetime, moving from one to the other before he was finally penniless. But he squandered all of his wealth that he had accumulated, basically, you know, having parties and seances and having, you know, lots of people around him all the time. He basically just died a broke man in spirit as well as poverty. Continuing here, but they did come up with this idea, this need, an absolute need to replace that spiritual sense in their people. And so this idea of the new religion, they needed to have a new religion, out with the old, in with the new. You know, the Illuminati had the had Catholicism in its crosshairs, and as well as Protestantism from the beginning. And so as they moved forward, trying to wipe out the organized churches, they knew that they were going to have to replace it with something. And so hence then the Catechism of the Positive Religion for the Comteans, and we'll find out a little bit more about that. And for the Saint-Simonians, they went on to this other vision where they would have a new church where the woman would be the goddess, the banks would be the temple, and so on and so forth. Very interesting study in that. However, a breach developed between these two men, and boy, did it. Largely, it centered around this breach, centered around a dispute as to authorship of the many things that Auguste Comte had been writing for Henri Saint-Simon for publication. Henri Saint-Simon making his money off of his newsletters, if you will, and then he was trying to take the credit, the authorship of the articles that were written by Auguste Comte and claim them as his own. And so they had a real breach there. They had a split. And it continues. He says, however, a breach developed between these two men dating from the publication of Comte's plan. And I won't try it. It's all in French. but he developed this idea of a positive reorganization of society, which found the greatest hindrance to the development of society in the continued ascendancy of the revolutionary tendency. And so even though, you know, there was a revolution in the air, be a part of it and all that, he looked at the mere destructives as an impediment, not as a blessing. He looked at the French revolutions as something that was negative, not a positive. And so he was always opposed to the opposition, if you could say, opposition being mere destructives, if were his own words. And so some people would say then that obviously he would be more of a Tory, advocating the continuation of the establishment, than an anti-establishment fellow. He would be anti-disestablishment. He would be an anti-disestablishmentarianist, to say it more properly. In 1825, he married Caroline Massine, and this was a real mistake in his life. But he did. That marriage was unfortunate from the start. The following year, he began to lecture on philosophy at his own house, but after his first few lectures, he was struck down by an attack of insanity, which resulted in an attempt at suicide. Of course, in a moment, we'll find out that he became associated with John Stuart Mill. John Stuart Mill, the son of James Mill, raised up, also precocious, raised up, homeschooled, and really advanced far beyond what would ordinarily be considered the average intellectual achievement of young people. His father, James Mill, grilled him and schooled him so heavily, and he had the little one, John, had so little of a childhood that in later years it all just came together and he snapped as well. And you'll find this all the way back through just about everybody, all the way to today. A lot of the very, best and brightest oftentimes go through these mental troubles. And certainly Auguste Comte did. This proved to be temporary, however. In 1828, he was again able to carry on his intellectual labors and his lectures. In 1832, he became the tutor in mathematics at the École Polytechnique, and in 1837, examiner at the same institution. Of course, as I said before, Barbara Marx Hubbard, who graduated from Bryn Mawr here in the United States, attended this school while she in Paris. And in 1837, examiner at the same institution. He also engaged in secondary school teaching. He held the post of examiner for some 10 years, but incurred the displeasure of his colleagues by some reflections on mathematics and lost the position. So once an innovative thinker, always an innovative thinker. He wasn't a go-along, get-along kind, and he had found it very difficult to be able to work within the establishment, if we can say it that way. His British disciples, including, among others, Grote, G-R-O-T-E, and John Stuart Mill, supported him, sending him $1,200 in 1845. And you can imagine the $1,200 denominated in 1845 dollars was quite a sum. For the rest of his life, he lived on the proceeds of a public subscription initiated by Littre, L-I-T-T-R-E, in 1848. He was separated from his wife since 1842, and in 1845, he met Clotilde Duval, whose husband was serving a life sentence. He became excessively fond of her, and after her death, the following year, had another, though a less serious attack, of mental aberration. And a lot of this now, this relationship with this Clotilde Duval, you're going to find in this idea of the catechism of the positive religion, because this is set up along the line of a conversation between a priest, that would be the priest of positivism, a priest of humanity, and a woman. And here this woman is this Clotilde Duval. And so that we need to understand. He was really almost deranged as he was writing this positive religion.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also
health by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Seed Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, cPanel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cPanel.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, April the 28th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Now, starting our second hour of today's two-hour enterprise, we come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. In the first hour, we went into a little bit of history and about who is August Comte, thinking about positivism a little bit this morning, reflecting on the Barbara Marks Hubbard interview and trying to find out just a little bit more about who are these Renaissance people, who are these co-creationists, and so on and so forth. And we're going to continue that as my own understanding of it expands over the course of this week. And in the beginning of the broadcast, we covered a little bit of the news, again, the Goldman Sachs Senate hearing. But back to our article, thinking along the lines of just who is this guy August Comte, you know, we talk about positive this and positive that. And if we can understand that if we were to use the Whigs and Tories analogy, he would be a Tory. He would be supportive of the Crown and Parliament assembled in a organized church. Of course, only if the Crown and Parliament were assembled along his positive philosophy and positive politics lines, and only if the church was his vision of a universal religion for humanity, which he says in the end will look remarkably like Catholicism. So put that one in your pipe and smoke it. Continuing here, again, his British disciples, including among others, Grote and John Stuart Mill. You know, John Stuart Mill was a disciple and paid big money to have the privilege of, I guess, first broadsheets of the writings of August Comte. He was also influenced by Henry St. Simon. And so it's kind of amazing that it wasn't up until the time that August Comte came up with this catechism of the positive religion that there was a break or a rift between August Comte and the positivists and John Stuart Mill. John Stuart Mill, referring back to England, if my study of his life, I don't have a really good biography of J.S. Mill, but I'd like to get one. But when he saw the emergence of this this religion, he knew that August Comte had set up a system which many, many, many others would embrace. And so that was when he then embarked on his writing of On Liberty. So he kind of that was a reaction to the writings of August Comte, if my understanding of all of that is correct. And I don't have 100% certainty on it. It's just what I've read. Of course, it happened a long time ago. So continuing along here, and then before we go any further, then so we can understand that when we hear about positive mental attitude and positive expectancy to win and positive this and positive that, when we think about using time set, you know, time management skills and developing goal setting and all of this, you know, a lot of it is supportive of, you know, if you will, the aristocracy. Very rarely do you ever find somebody working at a gas station that will give you much time if you want to talk about goal setting or time management. You get into affirmations and visualizations, and it goes right over their heads. But much of the techniques that have been developed by the positive mental attitude folk in the last 100 years, largely for salesmen, business people, executives, that sort of thing, excuse me, a lot of that is aimed at a different audience. It's aimed at the middle class, the strata of the middle class that are entrepreneurs, and really the middle class are entrepreneurs. They're business owners largely. So often we mistake and we think that wage earners that earn $78,000 a year are middle class. They're really not. They're just wage slaves. They just get a little bit more wage for their slavery. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we have returned once again. It is Wednesday, April the 28th. We're doing a live broadcast here. We're talking a little bit about August Comte, as important as he is, understanding things that are happening today. Certainly that. And if you're going to inquire into the moderns, if you're going to look at the Barbara Marx Hubbard type, you're going to want to have some understanding of who is August Comte, so that you can get a better understanding of her and the people that are influenced by her. She is one person. She's not the only person, but she is one person, and an important person, that are following this particular thread. In a moment, we're going to go to Aldous Huxley in his Brave New World Revisited, and you'll see that he is part of this as well. But from Table A here out of the in the Catechism of the Positive Religion, the system of sociolatry, it's a form of religion. It's a belief system. It's a faith system. Sociolatry, or social worship. And he has some very important, you know, principles here that he sets it up on. Love for principle, order for basis, and progress for end. So it's love, order, progress. You live for others, the family, the community, and humanity, or you can say the family, country, and humanity. Embracing a series of 81 annual festivals, the worship of humanity. We're not worshiping the creator of the universe. We're not worshiping a god of anyone's Bibles. We're not worshiping Buddha. We're worshiping humanity under all of its aspects. And he breaks the whole year down in a system of worship. And this worship was to be superintended by the priesthood, the positive priests, the priests of positivism. And it would be a very close relationship between mothers and children, and these priests, no mention much of the father, that's pretty much the way it is today too, that the priests of humanity would work through the mothers to get to the children. And they would be raised up in this. But in the first month, it would be humanity. The second month, they would look at marriage. The third month, paternal relations. The fourth month, the filial relations. The fifth month, fraternal relations. In the sixth month, the relation of the master and the servant. In the seventh month, they would cover fetishism. In the eighth month, it would be polytheism. In the ninth month, monotheism. In the tenth month, it would be women and moral providence. In the 11th month, it would be the priesthood. In the 12th month, it would be the patriciate. And in the 13th month, it would be the proletariat. And then they would have complementary days, and they would have additional leap years as necessary to calibrate their calendar. And there was a lot to it. He also came up with an incredible list of readings that everyone should have to read in their lifetime, the recommended readings, the recommended studies. So he's laying out curriculum as well. Then he also goes into some places where at his time he really had no business going, but he was fascinated by the operation of the brain. And so he established a systematic view of the soul and the 18 internal functions of the brain. They're rather specious, but nevertheless, some have been influenced by his writings. He also comes up with a positivist calendar. And in this, we consecrate the view of the preparatory periods of man's history. We go back through and we take a historical analysis, and we find all of the great people who've ever lived, and according to August Comte, and we dedicate a day of the year to them. Now, you can look at our calendars today. It's not as fully developed. It certainly was for a while in France. But today, we have this habit of dedicating certain days. I call them the merchant man's holy days, where you're supposed to run out and buy a certain kind of thing on Valentine's Day and a certain sort of a thing on another day of the year. We worship all of these things, these saints and idols and men and events of the past. And so we're venerating, we're worshiping humanity, even today, all around us. Continuing from the Encyclopedia article, besides the book already named, Comte wrote The Course of Positive Polity, Course of Positive Philosophy, Discourses on the Spirit of Positivism, The Calendar of Positivism, The System of Positive Politics, The Bibliothèque Positiviste, that would be his book list, The Catechism of the Positive Religion, which I just characterize a bit, and then many others. And so we'll just skip over this. Comte believed that knowledge passed through three stages of development, the theological stage, in which the imaginative plays the greatest part in giving accounts of things, the imaginative. This is also the time of the rule of priesthood, the priest class. The metaphysical stage, in which abstract principles replace the imaginary deities of thought theology, and in which tendency to unification takes the lead. Metaphysical stage, unification, a universal church. These are some of the things that were discussed by Barbara Marx Hubbard. And the positive stage, where both imagination and argumentation are subordinated to observation and agreement. So we come into this empirical thing, and this is much of what we started with John Locke. Experiment, the senses, the natural law, and those sorts of things. Continuing, it says here, agreement again with the facts becomes the ultimate scientific agreement. Anything that doesn't come up with can't be subordinated to observation and agreement with facts becomes the ultimate scientific criterion, blah, blah, blah. The facts arrange themselves in certain irreducible groupings, which are at least as many as there are distinct sciences, so that the unity of knowledge is subjective, not objective. Those sciences Comte classifies according to the order in which they have reached their positive stage, as follows. Mathematics, the very first thing, 1 plus 1 equals 2. I got one carrot, now I got another carrot. How many carrots do I have? I got two. Got one deer, got two deer. How many deer do we have? We got two. So mathematics begins these sciences. Astronomy, of course, you're going to spend, 12 hours a day, 8 to 10 hours a day, under the stars, sitting by your campfire, terrified of the things that go bump in the night, right? So everybody looked at the stars, helped them to take their mind off the things that might be lurking in the bushes outside of the flame of the campfire. Mathematics, astronomy, physics, chemistry, this is all in order now. This is how they were developed, and he went to great extent to lay out why they're in this order. Mathematics, astronomy, physics, chemistry, biology, sociology. This order is also the decreasing order of the broadness of scope in the sciences concerned and the order of the importance therein of induction as compared with deduction. So we have inductive logic and we have deductive logic being taught in this course as well from Comte. Comte devotes his special attention to sociology and ethics. He finds the division of the forms of civilization into militaristic, juristic, and industrial quite parallel to the threefold division of science. He desires to unite the treatment of the emotional and the intellectual needs of man, and for this purpose a new religion became necessary, the religion of humanity, and a new political utopia, from which you then see positivism. So that gives you a little bit of a background of who is Auguste Comte and what was his influence and what were some of the things in his mind and what would be discovered by studying him. And I think it's well worth your time, though you'll find it a trifle boring and kind of far-reaching. He was kind of avant-garde, but at the same time, he didn't have the grind of depth that Aristotle had. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today.
Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so we have returned once again, and we're trying to, at least I'm trying to come to some understanding, a greater understanding of just what is in the minds of these futurists, the co-creationists, the people that are looking for a revolutionary evolution or an evolutionary revolution. And hopefully we'll have some time to go back in to this Pierre Teilhard de Chardin and his writings as well today. But I want to stop here first and look at, once again, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World Revisited. Now, I have both. I have The Brave New World, which is a fiction, and then I have Brave New World Revisited, this edition published by Bantam Books. It's a 50-cent pocketbook, an original. It's another one of these finds from a flea market or an auction or just a garage sale. I don't recall where I found this one, but I picked it up. Dirtbag cheap for sure. But this is a paperback published in January of 1959. And it is the fourth printing. And so, beginning here, I guess I'm hardwired different than some. I've got two poles on my switch. They say that brevity is half of wit, but I'm wired a little differently. I go one of two ways typically. I either am silent and attempting to silence even my self-talk, or I'm involved in exposition. I just kind of work that way. People get real tired of listening to me talk. I hope you're not. Hope you find some of this useful. But that's pretty much the way I'm switched or wired. So it makes it rather easy to do a two-hour broadcast because I can go on endlessly 2 hours just telling you what we had for breakfast, two eggs, scrambled hash browns, and whole wheat toast, and tell you all about how we grew the potatoes and so on and so forth. Raised the eggs, chickens, the eggs, what come first. You know, dinner would get cold long before I'd stop talking, unfortunately. But here, in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World Revisited pocketbook, he begins this way in his foreword, again, this is 1959, "The soul of wit," and again, this is a famous quote, "brevity is half of wit," and as I'd like to say, if that's the case, then I surely must be a half-wit because I can certainly never be brief. But here, in the foreword, Aldous Huxley writes, "The soul of wit may become the very body of untruth. However elegant and memorable, brevity can never, in the nature of things, do justice to all the facts of a complex situation. And so, even though for some, certainly not myself, but for some, it's easy to, you know, be quick with a joke or to light up your smoke, I agree with Aldous Huxley just right off the bat in the beginning here that brevity can never, in the nature of things, do justice to all the facts of a complex situation. When we're trying to wrap our minds around just what is the problem, what is the disease, we can be thankful for discovery of symptoms that lets us know that we're on the right track. We needn't wring our handkerchiefs too long over the victims, because until we cure the disease, we'll have an endless amount of symptoms and victims. And so I prefer to try and isolate and diagnose properly the disease and then proceed after the cure of the disease. And in that process, the facts of the complex situation just build and build and build, unfortunately. We must never allow ourselves to be sidetracked into the paralysis of analysis, spending all of our time on the accumulation of knowledge, becoming bookful, lumberheads, with all of this information stacked in our minds. Knowledge is powerful, but it's only powerful when it's combined with action. It's not enough to do a thing or to think, know a thing, you have to do a thing. But on such a theme, Huxley continues, one can only be brief by omission and simplification. And we get a lot of that. Even in the daily news, the regurgitorium, lots of omission. They say there are errors of commission and there are errors of omission. There are also errors of oversimplification. Omission and simplification help us to understand, but help us in many cases to understand the wrong thing. As Alan Watts says, there's a reason and then there's a reason behind the reason. I think I got that right, maybe a paraphrase loosely. For our comprehension may be only of the abbreviator's neatly formulated notions, not of the vast ramifying reality from which these notions have been so arbitrarily abstracted. But life is so short and information endless, nobody has time for everything. And that's why we listen to anyone, read anything, believe nothing till we can verify it in our own research, but you're going to have to find people somewhere along the line that you had that have earned your trust. Because if we're all constantly on the internet, browsing up every little detail, and that's eyebrow, and if we don't allow some people's research to stand for that body and some people's research to stand for this body of knowledge, then we're all involved in this paralysis of analysis, and the internet, rather than becoming a tool for good, becomes a tool for evil, and we all become spendthrifts, wasting our time endlessly chasing the same rabbit trails, in my opinion. Again, Huxley writes, but life is short and information endless. Nobody has time for everything. In practice, we're generally forced to choose between an unduly brief exposition and no exposition at all. Abbreviation is a necessary evil, and the abbreviator's business is to make the best job of which, though intrinsically bad, is still better than nothing. He must learn to simplify, but not to the point of falsification. He must learn to concentrate upon the essentials of a situation, but without ignoring too many of reality's qualifying side issues. In this way, he may be able to tell, not indeed the whole truth, for the whole truth almost about almost any important subject is incompatible with brevity, but considerably more than the dangerous quarter truths and half truths, which have always been the current coin of thought. So the subject, he continues, of freedom and its enemies is enormous. And what I have written, he writes, is certainly too short to do it full justice, but at least I have touched on many aspects of the problem. Each aspect may have been somewhat oversimplified in the exposition, but these successive oversimplifications add up to a picture that I hope gives some hint of the vastness and complexity of the original. And my hopes are much the same here as Mr. Huxley's in this regard. We try and bring out information, you know, in a pocketbook, a 50-cent bantam pocketbook. You don't have the luxury that we have to do 50 two-hour broadcasts virtually in a row on the history of law and have only covered a few key points. to sit down and write a book, where would I stop? I would write a set of encyclopedias before I'd said what I needed to say, unfortunately. And who would read it? In today's age, you'd have to do a 30-minute DVD to really keep the attention, unfortunately, of the audience. But continuing, he says, in 1931, now this is the first chapter, and it's titled Overpopulation, by the way. It shouldn't be any surprise when the transhumanists look back. Eric Fromm and others, Paul Ehrlich, Holder, and others, they always start on this footing, largely because they have a mentor here. They have a mentor here in Aldous Huxley and others. But in 1931, when Brave New World was being written, I was convinced that there was still plenty of time. You see, he has the same urgency, sense of urgency that I have today. I think we've come to the end of that time. Not the time on the clock like 2012, but we're fresh out of time, folks. We're either going to make a decision, a positive decision, about where we're going in the 21st century and take serious remedies immediately, or it's all, you know, it's like game over. So, of course, it's not going to be game over. It's just going to be game over for freedoms that you have perhaps thought you had. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Thank you. This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And if you had thought of calling into the broadcast today, you may as well just let it go. I'm not able to bring up the phone bridge, so just let that be the guide. Calling won't do any good. I won't be able to see the calls coming in. So continuing back to Aldous Huxley, his Brave New World Revisited. Again, this is a 1959 publication, Bantam pocketbook. In 1931, when Brave New World was being written, Aldous Huxley says, I was convinced there was still plenty of time. So in the year 2001, after Jorge Bush came to office, later that year, when we had the Muhammad Atta and the Flying Circus hoax perpetrated against the people of the world, I also was convinced that we were fresh out of time. I was convinced we were fresh out of time, no longer held this idea that there was plenty of time. Even though we'd begun trying to speak truth to power back in the 60s and 70s, during the Vietnam War era, much of the time there that we had was frittered away, going from a hippie to a yippie, and then to a yuppie, and then to somebody, a plowboy, living in the country. Continuing here, he says, the completely organized society, the scientific caste system, the abolition of free will by methodical conditioning, the servitude made acceptable by regular doses of chemically induced happiness, the orthodoxies dumbed in by nightly courses of sleep teaching, these things were coming all right, but not in my time, not even in the time of my grandchildren. Gives you an idea of what he was thinking of. These futurists sometimes are on the beam. They're right on point. Huxley could see, because his brother Julian Huxley was part of the creation of the United Nations system, they could see where they were going to go with UNESCO and some of the things that they were setting up. Now let's jump forward to Chapter 3, Over-Organization. Over-Organization, this is a phrase that we hear right out of the mouth of Barbara Marx Hubbard, talking about government as being too over-organized, too hierarchical. We're going to need to have a new revolution here. An evolutionary revolution. The shortest, Huxley writes, the shortest and the broadest road to the nightmare of the brave new world leads, as I have pointed out, through overpopulation and the accelerating increase of human numbers, 2,800 million today, 3,500 million at the turn of the century, with most of humanity facing the choice between anarchy and totalitarian control. But the increasing pressure of numbers upon available resources is not the only force propelling us in the direction of totalitarianism. This blind biological enemy of freedom is allied with immensely powerful forces generated by the very advances in technology of which we are most proud. And of course, the advances in technology are the opening door for the 21st century for the futurists, as they seek a new way of global interconnectedness and interoperable communication in their GIS, GPS, global governance system, the revolution in the air, the cloud, right? The little G Godmen in the cloud above, governing from the cloud. Dropping down a bit here, many historians, many sociologists, and psychologists have written at length and with a deep concern about the price that Western man has had to pay and will go on paying for technological progress. Of course, we go back to Auguste Comte and understand his mind on the matter was this, that we would, in the positive stage, find ourselves in a world where the captains of finance and industry, that would be blank fine and Levin here, maybe, GE, their customers, L3 Communications, Travelers Insurance, AIG, the captains of finance and industry would rule the world, and they rule the world through their appointed dictator, Barry the Usurper, or any other convenient scapegoat. And Barry, or any other appointed dictator, would be supported in everything he does by a cadre of super social scientists. These are all the ones that are out there mapping down every gene in your genes and trying to figure out every possible way of cataloging you, numbering you, controlling you, directing you, stopping you, checking you to see whether or not you have your papers, please. Even in Arizona. So it continues here. It says, today, according to a writer in a Harvard Business Review, the wife of a man who is trying to live up to the ideal proposed by the social ethic must not demand too much of her husband's time and interest. Because of his single-minded concentration on his job, even his sexual activity must be relegated to a secondary place. We see that today, for sure. The current social ethic, again, this being written so long ago, the current social ethic, that's capital S, capital E, Aldous Huxley, very much aware of sociology, and Auguste Comte, obvious in his writings, he says the current social ethic, it is obvious, is merely a justification after the fact of the less desirable consequences of over-organization. So on the one hand, championing for extreme population control as a necessity for going forward, man, and now talking much about this social ethic, it is obvious, again, is merely a justification after the fact of the less desirable consequences of over-organization. So you might as well just be seancing with Barbara Marx Hubbard, or maybe she seances with the spirit of Aldous Huxley. It represents a pathetic attempt to make a virtue of necessity, to extract a positive value from an unpleasant datum. It is very unrealistic and therefore dangerous, very dangerous system of morality. The social whole, whose value is assumed to be of greater than that of its component parts, again, this is the greatest good of the greatest number, this is Auguste Comte, living for others, altruism, humanitarianism. Again, the social whole, whose value is assumed to be greater than that of its component parts, this is communitarianism, community policing, the neighborhood watch groups. The social whole, whose value is assumed to be greater than that of its component parts. We're talking about philosophical radicalism, Jeremy Bentham, James Mill, John Stuart Mill's father, and all of the rest of them that set forth to codify and make statutory the common law of England so long ago. Again, the social whole, whose value is assumed to be greater than that of its component parts, is not an organism in the sense that a hive or a termitary, that's termites, may be thought of as an organism. It is merely an organization, a piece of social machinery. There can be no value except in relation to life and awareness. An organization is neither conscious nor alive. And we can see that with Goldman Sachs. Neither conscious nor alive. Morally bereft, no spirit. In the economy, it's always profit versus loss. There's never anything moral or ethical about it. Profit good, loss bad. There can be no value except in relation to life and awareness. An organization is neither conscious nor alive. Corporations live on forever. But they're legal fictions, they're fictitious persons. Its value is instrumental and derivative. Oh boy, derivatives. It is not good in itself. It is good only to the extent that it promotes the good of the individuals who are the parts of the collective whole. Governments are instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's good only to the extent that it promotes the good of the individuals who are the parts of the collective whole. Once again, we're talking about synergy and synergism here. We're invoking Richard Buckminster Fuller's mindset. To give organizations precedence over persons is to subordinate ends to means. This is what happened at the Senate hearing, Levine and Blankfein. What happens when ends are subordinated to means was clearly demonstrative of Hitler and Stalin. Under their hideous rules, personal ends were subordinated to organizational means by a mixture of violence and propaganda, systematic terror, and the systematic manipulation of minds. In the more efficient dictatorships of tomorrow, there will probably be much less violence than under Hitler and Stalin. The future dictators' subjects will be painlessly regimented by a corps of highly trained social engineers. Our author is definitely up to speed with Auguste Comte. Here's a quote. The challenge of social engineering in our time, close quote, writes an enthusiastic advocate of this new science, quote, is like the challenge of technical engineering 50 years ago. What we did to design the Golden Gate Bridge, what we did to extend alternating current power all across America, what we did to build the hydroelectric dams, the Hoover Dam, and many others, what we did then in TVA and elsewhere, then with civil engineering and mechanical engineering and structural engineering and electrical engineering, today is being done by the social engineers. With every bit of much enthusiasm and financial support.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Seed Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, cPanel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cPanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And blowing through our two-hour broadcast today like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, coming up in the last segment of these 2 hours. Continuing again, reading from the writings of Aldous Huxley, right out of his Brave New World Revisited, pocketbook edition, Bantam Publishers, I guess. He writes again and continues in this section, the challenge of social engineering in our time is like the challenge of a technical engineering 50 years ago. If the first half of the 20th century was the era of technical engineers, the second half may well be the era of social engineers. And if we can look at the desire, I guess you will, that was expressed by the Renaissance 2 group or 3 group or whatever they call themselves, the futurists, Barbara Marx Hubbard and her clan, they're going to be looking at the high-tech IT world, the Internet, with all of its interoperability and interconnectedness, as the engineering future, the wave of the future, my man. Of course, at the end of the day, and there's reasons for that, but at the end of the day, no matter how many hours you do spend on the Internet, nothing really is produced. Nothing is really consumed. Nothing was really created. No true wealth actually exists. It's all intellectual product and nothing more, dependent upon the continuation of the cloud, the grid, all the servers, the routers, the hubs, all that sort of stuff, and electricity. And all of it can be just X'd out. But instead of having Ma and Pa America busy in their workshops making birdhouses and things that they could then sell or market, we just create images on screens and databases and lists and those sorts of things, occupying ourselves endlessly, typing tippy-tappy on cheap Chinese plastograph made by people that don't live that lifestyle in China and Malaysia, Taiwan, elsewhere, Mexico. But it is a way to occupy the people. It is beer, bread, and circuses for the folk. And I can see that this was pretty much visualized by Aldous Huxley long ago. I was very concerned about the transition to computerdom back in the 1980s, but it fell on deaf ears. And the 21st century, I suppose, will be the era of the world controllers. The era of the world controllers. And that's what we see now. The emergence of the IMF is the new global central bank, the world controllers. The captains of finance and industry running the planet through Ban Ki-moon, their appointed dictator. The scientific caste system. We can certainly see that. Living $164,000 a year, blank fine, $600,000 a year, plus $9 million in bonuses. The scientific caste system. And blank fine didn't create anything. It was all just digits on screens, right? Ones and zeros, and lots of zeros, unfortunately. The scientific caste system and the brave new world. To the questions, qui custodiet custos? It's a very interesting French phrase. I don't know how to pronounce it properly. No formal, real formal training in French. But basically, it is who will mount guard over our guardians? Who will engineer the engineers? Is a Senate regulatory investigation panel? Do they have sufficient strength or will, political will, to regulate Goldman Sachs? Or do they not? Who will regulate, who will guard over, the new and the emergent Obamacare medical global telemed system? Who will look over the IMF as they become and emerge as a global central bank? Huxley continues, the answer is a bland denial that they need any supervision. There seems to be a touching belief among certain PhDs in sociology that PhDs in sociology will never be corrupted by power. That's right, my friend. That local elected official, that appointed, let's say, international maintenance code, international property maintenance code official at your door with a ticket book and a gun, doesn't need any supervision. They can never be corrupted by power, right? Blank fine doesn't need any supervision. Banks don't need any regulation. The military industrial complex needs no regulation. They'll never be corrupted by power, will they? Like Sir Galahad, their strength is their strength of 10 because their heart is pure, and their heart is pure because they are scientists. and have taken 6,000 hours of social studies. Get their degree in law, social sciences. And so, pretty interesting stuff. Alas, and I'm not going to have time to go into Desjardins, we'll go there tomorrow. Alas, higher education is not necessarily a guarantee of higher virtue. Look at the disparagence between the virtue, if you will, of Levin, graduated out of Harvard Business or Law School in, what was it, 1959, and Blankfein, graduated out in 1978, same school. But again, alas, higher education is not necessarily a guarantee of higher virtue or higher political wisdom. In the decay of education, and as it has become more and more and more of an industry, and less to do with education, a bachelor's degree is required for everything, from a custodial engineer, someone that scrubs out the toilets in the Walmart, all the way up to somebody like Blankfein. You've got to have your bachelor's degree in something. It doesn't make a lot of difference what local health board had an advertisement for work, and they required a bachelor's degree. Of course, they didn't state a bachelor's degree in what. And when asked on the phone, it didn't matter. They just wanted you to have a bachelor's degree. So I guess you could have a bachelor's degree in underwater basket weaving and have enough education behind you to go in and rule over the lives of women and their children, husbands and wives and their families, working for CPS. He goes on here and he says, and to these misgivings on ethical and psychological grounds must be added misgivings of a purely scientific character. Can we accept the theories on which the social engineers base their practice and in terms of which they justify their manipulations of human beings? I mean, that's a good place to stop. Can we trust this system? As we move about and motate on this planet, on our day-to-day journeys, we have people of limited intellectual capacity, having been elevated far beyond their means by an education system designed to extract the maximum amount of wealth out of the pockets of people, and to keep people busy for the maximum number of years, so that they don't recognize that a 40-hour work week has been taken away, so that they don't realize that production is no longer the question, that everything is really all about consumption, that recreation has been moved to the top of the list, not accidentally, but intentionally, that as technology has improved, the need for manual labor and the other friends he crawls across the southern border with diminishes on a daily basis. And what is really needed is fewer and fewer people. Population being the real problem here. And yet, for countries like China and most of Europe and America now, as we go along the lines with the pill, for instance, that was a word I think that was coined by Aldous Huxley, made popular in the 60s and the 70s, and by the 80s, every woman was on the pill. But this idea of virtually self-exterminating ourselves, limiting our population, opens the door for the international migration and development agenda so that the people in developing countries can jettison, the governments in the developing countries can jettison their excess populations into those places where the pill and the abortion were successful. And unfortunately, our populations are dying out, and their populations are spreading over the face of the earth, only to find themselves equally entrapped. Well, that's enough for today. Hope you've learned something, enjoyed the broadcast. I have. I'll be back again tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com. This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the blahs?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.